Welcome to episode 355 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Wow, cruising is back. Okay, we know we've said that before when Elizabeth took her family on the Adventures of the Seas out of Nassau, but this time cruising is really back in the United States. Ships have begun sailing out of the U.S. ports. They have all different requirements depending on the cruise line, but this week we're going to focus on Norwegian cruise line. Recently, Elizabeth and Sandy were invited to participate in a test cruise on the Norwegian Encore for Norwegian Cruise Line's Great Cruise Comeback. We're excited to tell us how it went. So how'd it go?
It was so great to be back on a ship. This was actually the last ship I was on too, because I did the inaugural in 2019. So it was pretty cool.
A nice beginning and end to the COVID era. Same ship.
Knock on wood.
Time. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Really?
Yeah. And this was a little unique because it was a test cruise. So I was kind of excited to be invited on something like this, which is unusual. You know, we've been on travel agent event cruises before, but it's very different to be. I mean, this is one could equate it to what the industry would also call a shakedown cruise, because it's partially a test cruise for the benefit of the CDC, but it's also a test cruise for the crew. That this, you know, the crew hasn't had people to help in a year and a half, and so they're all back on new contracts. They've all been retrained, new safety guidelines. So we were also sort of, you know, guinea pigs in a way, and we were sent surveys every other day on the ship to, you know, sort of capture how things were going. So it was a little bit, it was a little different from a typical cruise, but still it was, you know, it was a cruise.
It's kind of normal.
The cruisy things.
So were there anything that was missing?
Yeah.
Yep, done.
I think the biggest thing for me that was missing was some of the entertainment. That ship has Kinky Boots as one of its headliner shows, and that was not on there. There's another show called Prohibition. It's a little musical review kind of thing. And that was not on there. I don't know, Elizabeth. I mean, we only visited one port, so that's different too.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of was, yeah, the ports were missing. You know, it was a short cruise. It really was to make sure we could sail out, get into a port, successfully run excursions, get back in, and then sail back. And it's a non-revenue cruise, so they weren't keen to stop in 16 ports for that. So so we just went up to Ketchikan and back. So that was a little different. And then like transfers and luggage services were a little different as well. I wouldn't say missing necessarily, but not full offerings.
Right.
So yeah.
So you sailed out of Seattle, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So when I sailed out of Seattle, when it was normal, they took your luggage at your stateroom and brought it right to the airport. Were they still doing that?
Well, they're doing it this week. They didn't do it for our cruise because it wasn't like officially on the schedule, but yes, the Port of Seattle is still doing that. And that is a huge, huge.
It was great.
Yeah, that makes all the difference.
It's free too. I mean, that's really nice. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, even in Miami, it's $25. Port Everglades, it's $25, but worth every penny.
Yep.
So
We totally would have done it had it been an option, but and actually it was somebody at guest services told us it just wasn't available for this cruise. Somebody else told us that it's only offered on Saturdays and Sundays. So, which actually both things could be true because we were getting off the ship on a Friday. So I haven't checked to see, you know, I haven't fact checked to see which one is actually the
I think
true.
Most cruises are, 7 days out of Seattle anyway. So it would
They leave Saturday or Sunday. So yeah, I think that it lines up with the normal cruise schedule, and we were not normal, which is, you know,
well, that's
if you know me and Sandy, that's but yeah, I mean, and the entertainment, you know, yes, we were missing some things, but Choir of Man was on board, and man, was that good.
They were spot on too. There was no mess up, no rustiness, nothing. They were great.
Yep.
Who was
and
it?
That Choir of Man.
Choir of Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Sandy, behave. It's sort of a acapella, but with musicians. I mean, they have a band, but it's that like 12-part, 13-part harmony kind of thing. And they do contemporary songs, but they string them together in sort of a jukebox musical format where it sort of loosely tells a story, or at least helps you get to know the characters in this bar. Mm-hmm. But it's an interactive show, and interactive in the sense that they usually bring somebody up on stage at some point. And at the beginning of the show, the pre-show, they invite everybody to come on stage and they give them a beer. Like, they have live taps on stage, and so it's set in a pub. So Sandy and I did that at the inaugural, and we're like, this is great. You know, you're up on stage and they're sort of chatting with you as if you're in the pub. You know, you could sit at the tables, you could. And so I was really, I was wondering how they were going to do that. Like, what was going to happen? And I thought they would just skip it. And for a second, it looked like they were going to, but then as the show started, they were like, all right, we're going to bring you beers. And they would put 4 beers on a platter, and servers would come up and bring beers out to the audience. So it was kind of they're not full, full on beers, and you can't order your preference, but it was a nice compromise to sort of keep things safe, but also, still have some interaction. And they did a little bit of, sort of talking and making eye contact with people in the front row where they normally would have maybe come out and sat in their lap or something. So, So they never broke the fourth wall completely. Well, they did in voice, but not in body. They didn't come out into the house. So. They're really good. And they had their Beatles show, which is actually a multi-part show because they do Beatles through the years. They have the Cavern Club on board. And so they have a show that's the early Beatles with the early costumes and the bowl haircuts and the ties, and then the mid years and then the later years. And so they change costumes and they evolve over the period of the crew over the, the week of your cruise. So they did all 3 of those shows while we were on board for just 4 nights. So, we definitely were entertained.
And they had
everything.
They had the glow party too, which we did not make it to because it started at 10:30.
We might have been asleep by 8.
Yeah, I think it was still daylight that night.
What kind of requirements did you have to get on board?
So Norwegian is requiring everybody to be fully vaccinated, and you have to be 2 weeks past your second shot if you're doing 2 shots. And then they also do a rapid test at the port. So there is some setup for that. You'll get an email a couple weeks before you cruise to go ahead and register with the company that they're using to administer those tests. And that way you're already in their system when you show up. If you don't do it, you can register there, but it'll just speed things along a little bit if you're pre-registered. So it was pretty easy. There's a Marriott right across the street from the port in Seattle, and that's where they had it all set up. We actually dropped our luggage off first, but I don't know. You may or may not want to do that in case you test positive and then your luggage is gone.
You have to go collect
your luggage.
It
goes to Alaska.
We were very confident we were going to test negative. So we went across the street, did the test, and then came back over and went right through. And they give you an arrival time. They're very strict about it. They don't want you showing up whenever. They want you adhering to that time. So they're spacing people out. And honestly, that made the process very smooth. And it was very quick for us.
So, keeping in mind that because this was a test cruise, there were fewer people on board, probably around 1,100 out of the like 4,200 that could be on board. And they boarded in 2 days. So there was a group that got on August 1st and then a group that got on the 2nd. So we were spread over 2 days. Sandy and I didn't get to go on until the 2nd, but we got to get on at like 9:30 in the morning because the ship was still there. It never left port. So there was no clearing that had to happen. So it was like checking into a hotel almost. You just show up whenever. So when we arrived on the 2nd, our rooms were already ready, all that. It was all set up and ready to go. But having been through the process, I didn't feel like there was a high risk of it being really much more delayed, getting through. They had lots of people there doing tests. It was a very smooth process, lots of stations where, you check in here and then you wait here and then you get your nose swabbed here and then you sit down and wait. And then they have a big monitor where they put your number up when you're cleared and you go up and get a bracelet and get on board. It was pretty smooth.
So this was a 2-day process to get on board. Are they going to be doing that for future sailings, or was this a special thing?
This was a special thing. So that's why we can't really say for sure that it'll be just as efficient. Although they boarded 2 days ago and I didn't hear any buzz about it being a disaster. So, and I'm sure they're still at reduced capacity. So, it's still not full, full capacity, but apparently like the first day, which we weren't there, but our contacts at Norwegian were like, we're sending you some information because there was some confusion about where to go. And we never actually got that information. But by the time we got there the next day, they had figured it all out and they had placed, like, there was a Norwegian employee every 2 feet along the sidewalk between the port and the hotel, pointing us where to go. And every single one of us told us where to go. So it wasn't like they were just standing there and waited for you to look lost. They were like, are you going to the ship? This is where you go. Are you going to the ship? This is where you go. 100 times we were told. So there's no way to miss it.
How often did you have to show your vaccine card?
So we had to show it when we checked in for the test and when we checked in for the cruise. I think that's all right, Elizabeth.
Yeah, but it was all at the same, like, basically, yeah. Once we got on the ship, we could put it away. We didn't need it again.
Yeah, when you pass the test, they also put an armband on you to show that you had already done that part. So,
and I did remove the armband after a few hours. Sandy was like, "Don't do that." I'm like, "I'm on the ship. Everybody on the ship got the armband. Like, there's so why do I need to keep wearing this paper armband?" And nobody stopped me. So I think it really was to get. I figured that I had my vaccine card and I would test again, but I wanted to see what would happen. And I did see some people wore their bracelet the whole time, but like Lindsay, I have sensitive skin. Mine isn't as sensitive as Lindsay's, and wearing that bracelet all week would have just driven me mad because it's that paper, like concert paper, and we were in and out of water, and I just did not want to mess with it. So I figured
it wasn't like a rubber royal bracelets, bracelet, and that. Nope.
So, and that's why I thought too. It's like clearly this is not meant to be worn the whole week.
And they didn't say anything about it, because I saw people, when I was on roll, I saw people who had taken it off, who had their card, and they were like, no, you have
to. Because Royal is not, Royal's not 100%. Norwegian is 100% vaccinated. So if you got on the ship, you proved at some point that you were vaccinated.
And well, and the band was.
Yeah, we had to show
the band was for passing that rapid test too. It wasn't for the vaccination. So,
tell me about wearing masks.
So we did not have to wear masks on the ship. All of the Norwegian employees were wearing masks, and they asked us to wear, actually they required that we wore the masks in port when we did our excursion, and we did our excursion through the cruise line. So, I'm not really sure about third party excursions right now. I didn't even look into whether that was an option.
I think it is. But the masks were required indoors, not outdoors. So any enclosed spaces, you had to wear them.
Right.
So NCL is doing 100% vaccinated. So this
is correct. Through October 31st, no one under the age of 12. Yeah.
Adult.
Oh, you could be 12.
12. Yeah, you could be 12. So.
Yeah.
And then Sandy was on. So.
My 16-year-old could come.
Yes, exactly.
But that also gives them time. That's another thing. The kids clubs for the little kids aren't open, obviously, but the teen club had stuff going on too. Although I didn't see anybody that I thought was a teenager on this cruise. I just don't think there were any that young.
I saw a couple. I mean, I do think, and because it was a test cruise, like I know that we were not allowed to bring kids. The passengers consisted of either travel agents or travel trade and Norwegian employees. So I believe that the Norwegian employees had some freedom to bring children, but we were asked not to bring anyone under the age of 18. So, but yeah, that is going to be through October 31st. And again, part of the advantage of being on a test cruise is the Norwegian was on board and they had sort of an executive panel for us to attend where they took questions and answers, and somebody asked them, is this something that you are, you know, doing through the end of the year, or, and they said, as of right now, it's October 31st. And then we'll see, you know, basically they're going, they said several times, we're going by the science. So whatever the science tells us is the best thing to do, we'll make a call on that. So they know that final payments for November cruises are at the beginning of September. They'll make a decision by then as to whether or not, it'll extend into November, but they said it's really the only way they feel completely safe, you know, running the cruises. And they do understand that that is a compromise, you know, to not have children on board, and they do still want to be a family brand. But as of right now, they just feel like it's, the science says that they should do it this way. So, yep.
I appreciate that they're doing it that way. I felt a lot safer with knowing that everybody on board was 100% vaccinated.
So besides the kids clubs and the entertainment, what other kinds of things did you notice were either open or not operating or operating as normal?
I think the spa was operating as normal, although we didn't. Well, Elizabeth, you did a couple things. We both got the thermal spa pass, and that was operating as normal.
So there was no like wipe downs in between. How was
they that? Were cleaning like, that area exactly constantly. There was nothing stopping you from laying down on a heated bed right after somebody else vacated it. But if it was empty for a couple minutes, then they would come wipe it down. Like if there was no towels on it, they were wiping it down. There was somebody there with sterilization fluids and mops constantly. Like they stood in there. They never left. They just constantly were mopping. So.
Although I will say when I was in the salt room, they have a Himalayan salt room, which is really awesome. I love that. But those areas, people just come and go. It's not like they clean it in between people, you know, like you might go in and there might be a couple people in there and then they'll leave and then more people come in and then you go out. So that that felt pretty pre-pandemic to me for that part. But I didn't feel unsafe because I knew we were all vaccinated. So I didn't.
But all the specialty restaurants were open. The one thing that they didn't do was take a lot of reservations in advance. But again, we were a test cruise, so I'm not sure that that's going to be normal. We made our dining reservations on board. And
we did our caravan on board too.
Right. We did our entertainment. I think we did. Yeah. We did all of our entertainment on board, right? Even the first show we saw
I think we just walked in.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. We did. So there was just some, you know, slight differences, but again, with hardly anybody on board, it was kind of nice not to have to think about it ahead of time. You know, the only thing you really had to sign up for was when you were going to arrive in port, you know, so that you, for your check-in time, everything else was pretty loosey-goosey. So
what about shopping opportunities? Cause that's one of the things I noticed is not all the shops and the kiosks and those little special sales that they have during a cruise.
That was nice. That was like one of my favorite things I didn't buy
one. So Norwegian shopping area is not like Royals. It's not that big really. They have like a hallway you walk through that they have stuff on both sides. And then there's a couple stores, but like one whole side of the stores is like jewelry and watches and stuff. And if you're not into that, you just don't even go into that side. So the side with like little tchotchkes from Alaska, that area is actually quite small, and the liquor's in that part. So I shopped. That one was all normal. I didn't see any of that was actually closed. And there was like one day when they had like the fire sale for the watches, but I didn't go over to it. But the daily agenda wasn't in our room every night like you would normally get, but you could pull that up on the app or you could go pick it up at the guest services desk. So
curious if they're going to end that. Some cruise lines are thinking about ending that just because everybody's online now.
Yeah, I have heard that's definitely been something they've been working towards. So I think this might be an opportunity for them to do that. The thing is, on Norwegian's app, the cruise planner, when it appears, it's a PDF. Like you're loading a PDF, which if you've ever read a PDF on your phone and you are over an age, it's challenging. So that was actually one of the survey questions was about whether, you know, how that experience was. And I'm with Sandy, that paper is just really nice. Even though it gets wet when you're by the pool or whatever, I just like carrying it around because it's just so much easier to refer to. And you're not switching back and forth from ship Wi-Fi and all that. So, yeah.
Plus, NCL has like the tiniest.
Yeah, it is really small.
Mm-hmm. And it's like super small. The numbers are so close. They're like little ants just stacked right next to each other.
Yep, yeah, then put it on your phone.
For us that are needing glasses.
Yeah, put it on your phone.
That actually, even like the menus, you know, in a lot of places, menus are QR codes. They had QR codes on every table, but Sandy is very high maintenance and she's like, menu, please. So they handed us menus every single time. And honestly,
somebody had to sit there and wipe down the menu for you.
No, okay. I just had lunch with my aunt and cousin who were in town like today. And they did the QR thing. And I was like, this never works on my phone. I need a menu. And I showed my cousin. And sure enough, you know what it brought up? It didn't bring up the menu. It brought up Facebook. And I was like, my phone doesn't work with this.
That's weird.
Like,
that must be a setting somewhere.
Yeah.
But,
It was just the last.
Again, fully vaccinated. So they were not as concerned with that. It was almost and yes, we know there are breakthrough cases. We know it's possible. But so we were fully vaccinated and we tested literally right before we got on board. So yeah, it would have been very difficult to pick anything up. Not impossible, but very difficult.
We also both tested a couple of days before we left to know that we were negative going out there. So.
And what about?
Yeah, I might go get tested today. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I've been testing before and after I travel. And this past time coming back was the first time I hadn't done one when I come back. Because they're kind of asking people not to test unless you have a reason to.
Yeah.
Here again. Yeah. And I mean, went to go buy some of the test at home stuff. And I think it sold out. A couple places.
Well, speaking of testing, was that included in your cruise fare or would that be extra for North Norwegian?
And can you use your FCC? I'm just kidding.
The rapid test was included. We didn't pay for the rapid test.
And there was no other testing required. I mean, any other testing we did on our own. So, because
we also didn't visit any foreign ports, so there was no need to test to come back into the U.S.
Although cruise lines seem to be exempt from that anyway. So the rule about testing before you come in the U.S. is for air travel, not for cruises, because the cruises going in and out of Miami, they are not testing when they come back. So that's just not a requirement. George, you were about to ask something a minute ago.
I just wondered how NCL was handling buffets. Was it similar to the way Royal's been doing where everybody serves you?
No, they were not. And actually in the executive meeting, somebody asked about that. I was so glad. No, you were touching the same tongs as the guy who might've wiped his nose right before. And what their justification was everyone is 100% vaccinated. So we're not subject to the same CDC guidelines for buffets and that sort of thing. So we ate at the buffet once. I realized that the tongs were self-serve and we did not eat at the buffet again. You know, that's just the way I am, but honestly, that was me pre-pandemic too. Like I'll eat there once or maybe twice because Marcus forces me to, my son, but the rest of the time he's on his own. I mean, I'm like, I don't have to cook and I don't have to clean up. I would like somebody to bring my food to me. Thank you. I do not want to have to stand in line for it. And then the fact that they were not serving. And that's the other thing that sort of bothered me. And this isn't really even a criticism of NCL because I'm not in the back office making these decisions, but they had full crew on board with only 1,100 passengers. There were literally crew members standing around just waiting to help you. Why not put some of them upstairs and have them serve? Like, why not? That to me was just, we don't need six bartenders. We could take three of those and put them upstairs and give them a pair of tongs. So that was just me, but, and we all know how I feel about buffets.
I think 7 PM on a Saturday night, Elizabeth, is very different from.
I use all six bartenders at each bar. Don't get me wrong.
I don't need.
Yeah, I completely prevailed myself at the bar, but I just feel like when you have a full crew that normally we serving 4,200 people, surely you can spare about 10 of them to go upstairs and serve people. So that's a decision Norwegian has made, and that's fine. Again, I'm not your buffet queen anyway. So you didn't really lose anything by by chasing me out of the buffet. So.
It didn't bother me. And I actually did go up there for breakfast one other day when we were not together. The day Elizabeth let me
And I will say like the buffet for breakfast, which is the one I did do, they had like 10 egg stations open. So there was no waiting in long lines for your omelet. That if there was a line at this omelet station, go to another one. So fresh cooked eggs, very easy to come by. So the buffet quality was great. I just didn't want to touch tongs.
So is there anything else you want to tell us?
Well, I mean, I will say that everybody seemed very happy to have people back. The staff was very friendly and just seemed really happy to be back at it. We spoke to several of them about what their experience had been like when everything shut down and how, you know, happy they were to come back to it. Same with the port. You know, we only did the one port, but they need people to come to Ketchikan. So they were very happy to have us there too, even though it was raining sideways.
And the bigger ships are coming in. So we were the first ship to come into the secondary port there in Ketchikan that they've built for these bigger ships. So it is a little bit further away from downtown, but they had shuttles running plentifully. And even in the rain, I mean, I never was like, this is miserable. It was really great to be back. We found a brewery and had a few beers, which is really all I wanted to do in Alaska, other than eat crab and drink beer. So, and we did those things. Goal accomplished. Check. The other thing I'll say is make sure you bring your swimsuit, because, you know, people go to Alaska thinking it's going to be cold, but our first day in Seattle was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And I know Lindsay doesn't believe it, or she's like, look, it's only like that one day a year and don't plan on it.
Like, no, it seems like every time Sandy's there, it's this perfect weather. And it was the same when they came to visit in spring too. I'm like, I don't understand. This is great. It was great the entire time they were here.
So. Yeah. I bring all the sunshine.
It was beautiful. And so. The DJ was a master. Like, NCL does hire great, great DJs. So the deck party was a party for sure. And then on our way back, on the way up to Alaska, it was thick, thick fog, like the kind of fog where every 10 minutes they're blowing the horn because they don't want to hit something. It was, you couldn't see anything. And Sandy and I were like, this is kind of disappointing, but we were on the port side of the ship too. So on the way back, we were on the Canada side and it was clear. There were dolphins jumping. There were whales spouting. We sat on deck all afternoon. It was gorgeous. I mean, it was just absolutely gorgeous. I put on a sweatshirt that morning, but I took it off, you know, midday, and it was literally just beautiful. So Sandy and I were truly amazed at how gorgeous the weather was. So don't assume you're going to be inside. Yeah. Bring, you know, you're not going to be in your bathing suit all the time, but.
Well, and people, there's hot tubs up on the deck too, so you can.
And then we wore our suits in the thermal suite too, so even if the weather is bad. And the thermal suite and the observation deck both have these gorgeous views that are to die for. So if you really do feel forced to stay inside, you still have lots of ways to see the beautiful scenery. So, 100%.
Very good. Well, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.